As a preacher, I love this part of the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 30, our Old Testament reading today, because Moses, he's preaching his very last sermon right before he dies to the people. And this sermon that Moses preaches, it's beautiful. It's eloquent. It's all-encompassing. It reaches all the way back to Egypt, and it talks about the present moment, how they're about to enter the promised land. It even reaches into the future. And what I love about Moses preaching here is he comes right out and tells them the whole point. Choose life so that you and your offspring may live. Loving the Lord your God and obeying his voice and holding fast to him. I love it because Moses tells it like it is. He comes right out. And he says what his main point is. Perhaps I could learn a few things from Moses. Or maybe I'm doing a good job. No. I'm doing a good job. Well, to be fair, Moses had 40 years of preaching, so he's a lot better of a preacher than I am. But you see, the sermon's not just a delight to the people, or to preachers like me. It's a delight to the people, because the people deserve to hear God's word faithfully and directly. And Moses delivers it to them. He gives them God's word faithfully and directly. Both law, choose life, love the Lord your God, obey his voice, hold fast to him, and the gospel. For he is your life and your length of days. Moses sets before them two options. Life and death. And he comes right out of the gate and tells them as it is, I'm preaching to you so that you live, so that you choose life. It reminds me of Jesus' own sermon, even shorter. In Matthew chapter 7, he says, there's two ways. Enter the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Enter the narrow gate. The scriptures set before us two options: life and death, good and bad, eternal life and eternal death. And the whole point of Moses' preaching is that you and your offspring would live. Because you're either living or you're dying. Which one does it feel like at the moment? Are you living? Or are you dying? And when you look at your family, what does it seem like your family's doing? Is your family living? Or is it dying? No family's perfect. We all have things we're working on. But as you look at your family, does it seem like you guys are living or things are dying? You're either living or you're dying. What about Trinity Lutheran Church, our congregation? When you look around, do you see a church that's living or does it seem like we're dying? Thank you. I'm not used to response. What about the community? Last thing I want to ask. What about the community? When you look at Clinton and Henry County, does it seem like our city is living or does it seem like it's dying? Because you're either living or you're dying. There's no in between. You're doing one or the other. And I know we're all slowly dying, but that's not what I'm getting at. Are you living or are you dying? What's the whole point? What's the point? You know, in reality, that's what the Reformation was all about 500 years ago. What's the point of the church, our preaching and our teaching? What's the whole point? Because back then it was to spur you on to good works so that you would achieve everlasting life by your merits, by what you do. And the Lutheran Reformer said, you guys, you got all of this backwards. That's not the point. And we argue this point at length in our confessions. We spend more time on this point than any other article of faith. We write, we do not desire to be subtle here. for there are very serious reasons for arguing over this point. Indeed, if we grant to the opponents that works merit eternal life, the next thing you know, they'll fabricate absurdities that we're righteous on account of our own works and not on account of Christ. In this way, the entire teaching, the entire point concerning faith will be buried. However, it's necessary to retain in the church the pure teaching and preaching concerning the righteousness of faith. Therefore, we are compelled to rebuke these Pharisaic opinions of the opponents, both in order to proclaim the glory of Christ and to present firm consolation to consciences. For since in judgment the conscience senses that our works are unworthy, how will it receive the firm hope of salvation unless it knows that human creatures are regarded righteous and saved through mercy on account of Christ and not account of our own fulfillment of the law? For Paul writes, "For there is no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Therefore, we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the law." And we write this, By such comforting words in the gospel, our burdened consciences are to be uplifted and strengthened and comforted that on account of Jesus Christ, through faith, the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life is a gift freely given, bestowed, and we are regarded as righteous. That's the whole point of the church's preaching, is not to turn your eyes back to yourself so that you do more good works. The whole point is that you turn your eyes to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who died for us and rose again for us. The whole point of Lutheran preaching is to comfort burdened consciences. Comfort, comfort ye my people, to uplift and to strengthen with the gospel, not to heap on more law on a sinner who repents, but to uplift him and point them to their Redeemer and their Savior, and that they are saved and made right on account of him. Because the people need the word, and they need it faithfully and directly, because people are either living or they're dying. You're either dying apart from Christ or you're living in him. Which one is it for you? Well, as many of you know, the elders and I went on a retreat 2 weekends ago. Went to Branson, got away. And the whole point of the weekend, among many other things, is to come back with a point for us as a congregation to focus on this year. And we had some good fellowship time together. We worshipped, prayed, elders led devotions. We had a little bit of fun at night. Farkle was played, and the reigning champion kept his trophy. Elroy Schumacher is going down next year. But the last 2 hours of the retreat, we set aside time to plan after filling ourselves up with the word. And the focus throughout the weekend was from 1 Peter chapter 2. We read the whole letter at the beginning of the retreat. We read all of it, and we focused on this verse: "As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves are like living stones being built up in a spiritual house." So what's going to be the point? Living, dying. How does the church live? How does the church die? And so when it came time talk about what's the point going to be, we really got nowhere. First elder said, it's the 500th year of the Reformation. We should probably talk about that. Our faith, our confessions, that goes back 500 years. It goes back all the way to the cornerstone himself, Jesus Christ. It's a living faith. As Lutherans, people are going to be looking at the fathers of the Reformation. What do you guys teach? You started all this. We should probably offer that. And we all agreed, yeah, living faith. Another elder said, well, we should also talk about a living Lord, his attributes for us, his heart for us. What kind of God do we have? a living Lord. What does that mean for people? Well, we all thought that was good, living Lord. Another elder said, we need to be living the word outside of ourselves in the community so that the people hear the message of hope and salvation, so that they know that there's a heaven waiting for them. Isn't that the whole point of the church? The Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations? Well, yeah, that's a good idea, live the word. Another elder said, well, we need to be living that word in different areas of our lives, individually and corporately, in our families, inside the church, outside the church, living the word in different areas. Well, yeah, that's a good idea. And we went around for an hour and we got nowhere. And we even started to reminisce how last year it seemed like an angel from heaven just dropped into our lap, sola scriptura, word alone. And this year, it wasn't happening. And we were, I was getting frustrated, but then we prayed. And we spent time simply praying for you. And asking for a point. And by the end of the prayer, I didn't even care anymore that we didn't have a point. I was just in a good place, because that's what prayer does. Being in the presence of God, you know what? It's all right. We don't have to have a point. We have many things to do. And I had every intention of saying that right after our prayer, because we had a checkout time. We had to get on the road. But before I could get a word out, an elder said, you know, there was something in the very first prayer that was said that hit me like a ton of bricks. To focus on the message of hope, that's when it went off in my mind. A living hope! Doesn't Peter talk about a living hope somewhere? And all of us, we ripped open the scriptures, we start pouring through 1 Peter. We know that we had heard that somewhere before, and I'm pouring through chapter 2, and the Dara said right there, chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father, our living Lord of Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's all about Jesus. He has caused us to be born again, baptized into his death and resurrection, a living hope. It's not a dead hope. It's a living hope that lives within us through Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. This is the message we have for all people, that there's a living hope, a real heaven waiting for them who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. This is our living faith. The whole point of the Reformation is that we are justified by God's grace through faith. This is our verse for the year. Brothers and sisters of Trinity Lutheran Church, this will be the point of our life together this year. This verse, the living hope that we have in Jesus. So we're going to celebrate 500 years of the Reformation with a living hope in Jesus. We're going to celebrate what it means to be Lutheran, who we are as Lutheran. And dare we have a little bit of fun along the way, because it's fun to be Lutheran. But we do so with a living hope in Jesus. He's our living hope. He lives within you. He is your hope, and that hope is alive within you. You're the baptized, the living hope. It's always there, beating and pumping and pulsing through your veins, seeing you through the worst anguish and the deepest turmoils and the darkest valleys. The worst of your sins? I don't think so. I have the living hope in Jesus that has washed me clean from all of my sin. Death? No way. I have a living hope in Jesus Christ. This is the whole point of the scriptures. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son does not have life. All these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that whoever believes in him will never perish but have eternal life, and life in his name. We want to see this living hope strengthened in you and in your families, so that you may live, you and your offspring. So we're going to do everything we can to nurture and to support and care for this living hope that you have. We want to see this living hope grow in our church. So we're going to do everything we can to water and plant. And there may be some things that we plant that fail, but that's okay. We're going to keep watering and planting, but it will be God and God alone who gives the growth. And we want to see this living hope reach out into our community, because there are people who need it, who sit in darkness and don't know about the living hope. They have no hope or a future, and we have it, and we should be giving it to them. Celebrating 500 years of the Reformation with a living hope in Jesus. But all of it is because we have a living Lord. And he is our life. And he is our length of days. Amen.